Chapter 132. Vibration and Noise Diagnosis and Correction. Vibration and noise are two of the most frequent complaints from vehicle owners and drivers. If something is vibrating, it can move air. Changes in air pressure, or air movement, are what we call noise. Though anything that moves vibrates, wheels and tires account for the majority of vehicle vibration problems. Causes of vibration and noise. Vehicles are designed and built to prevent most vibrations and to dampen out any vibrations that cannot be eliminated. For example, engines are designed and balanced to provide smooth power at all engine speeds. Some engines, such as large four-cylinder 90-degree V6s, require special engine mounts to absorb or dampen any remaining oscillations or vibrations. Dampening weights are also fastened to engines or transmissions in an effort to minimize noise, vibration, and harshness, called NVH. If a new vehicle has a vibration or noise problem, then the most likely cause is an assembly or parts problem. This is difficult to diagnose because the problem could be almost anything, and a careful analysis procedure should be followed as outlined later in this chapter. If an older vehicle has a vibration or noise problem, the first step is to question the vehicle owner as to when the problem first appeared. Some problems and possible causes include the following. Refer to chart on page 1662. See figure 132-1. Note, a typical exhaust system can grow or lengthen up to 2 inches, or 1 centimeter, when warm, as compared with room temperature. Always inspect an exhaust system when warm, if possible, being careful to avoid being burned by the hot exhaust components. For vibration at higher vehicle speeds, incorrect driveshaft angles could be the result of a change in the U-joints, springs, transmission mounts, or anything else that can cause a change in driveshaft angles. For noise over rough roads, exhaust system or parking brake cables are often causes of noise while driving over rough road surfaces. See figure 132-2. Defective shock absorbers or shock absorber mountings are also a common cause of noise. Refer to figure 132-1. Many vehicles, especially those equipped with four-cylinder engines, use a dampener weight attached to the exhaust system or differential, as shown, to dampen out certain frequency vibrations. Refer to figure 132-2. The exhaust was found to be rubbing on the frame rail during a visual inspection. Rubber exhaust system hangers are used to isolate noise and vibration from the exhaust system from entering the interior. These rubber supports can fail, causing the exhaust system to be out of proper location. It was found by looking for evidence of witness marks. Case study: the vibrating Ford Transit Connect. The owner of a Ford Transit Connect complained of a severe vibration at idle. The technician checked for any stored diagnostic trouble codes and any related technical service bulletins and found at TSBs that the lower engine mount could be the cause. The transmission, or powertrain, mount was found to be cracked, so this was also replaced. The vibration was still present. Thinking that the engine mounts could be an issue, the technician found them to be clean without any leaks or cracks. Checking with other technicians on www.tiat.net resulted in several responses that suggested that the upper mount, being fluid, or gel, filled has been found to be the cause or a vibration even if it is not leaking. Taking the advice of other technicians who have solved a vibration by replacing the upper mount, the technician did replace it and this corrected the vibration concern. Apparently, the failed engine mounts caused the engine to vibrate because they were not in the original position where they were designed to dampen engine noise and vibrations. The summary. The complaint: the owner complained of a vibration in the engine when at idle speed only. The cause: defective engine mounts including the upper liquid-filled mount was found to the root cause. The correction: all three engine, or powertrain, mounts were replaced based on a TSB and a visual inspection, plus advice from other service technicians. Test drive. The first thing a technician should do when given a vibration or noise problem to solve is to duplicate the condition. This means the technician should drive the vehicle and observe when and where the vibration is felt or heard. See the chart in figure 132-3. Though there are many possible sources of a vibration, some simple observations may help to locate the problem quickly. Number 1. If the vibration is felt or seen in the steering wheel, dash, or hood of the vehicle, the problem is most likely to be caused by a defective or out-of-balance front wheels or tires. See figure 132-4. Number 2. If the vibration is felt in the seat of the pants or seems to be all over the vehicle, the problem is most likely to be caused by defective or out-of-balance rear wheels or tires. In a rear-wheel drive vehicle, the driveshaft, or propeller shaft, and related components might also be the cause. While on the test drive, try to gather as much information about the vibration or noise complaint as possible. Step 1. Determine the vehicle speed, mile per hour or kilometer per hour, or engine speed, or RPM, where the vibration occurs. Drive on a smooth, level road and accelerate up to highway speed, noting the vehicle speed or speeds at which the vibration or noise occurs. Step 2. To help pin down the exact cause of the vibration, accelerate to a speed slightly above the point of maximum vibration. Shift the vehicle into neutral and allow it to coast down through the speed of maximum vibration. If the vibration still exists, then the cause of the problem could be wheels, tires, or other rotating components, except the engine. If the vibration is eliminated when shifted out of gear, the problem is related to the engine or transmission. Note, if the engine or transmission has been removed from the vehicle, such as during a clutch replacement, carefully observe the location and condition of the mounts. If an engine or transmission mount is defective or out of location, engine and driveline vibrations are often induced and transmitted throughout the vehicle. Neutral run-up test. The neutral run-up test is used to determine if the source of the vibration is engine-related. With the transmission in neutral or park, slowly increase the engine RPM and with a tachometer, observe the RPM at which the vibration occurs. Do not exceed the manufacturer's recommended maximum engine RPM. If the fault is found in the engine itself, further engine testing is needed to find the root cause. Refer to Figure 132-3, a chart showing the typical vehicle and engine speeds at which various components will create a noise or vibration and under what conditions. Refer to Figure 132-4. Vibration created at one point is easily transferred to the passenger compartment. McPherson strut suspensions are more sensitive to tire imbalance than SLA-type suspensions. Tech tip. The duct tape trick. A clicking noise heard at low speeds from the wheels is a common noise complaint. This noise is usually most noticeable while driving with the windows lowered. This type of noise is caused by loose disc brake pads or noisy wheel covers. To confirm exactly what is causing the noise, simply remove the wheel covers and drive the vehicle. If the clicking noise is still present, check the brakes and wheels for faults. If the noise is gone with the wheel covers removed, use duct tape over the inner edge of the wheel covers before installing them onto the wheels. The duct tape will cushion and dampen the wheel cover and help reduce the noise. The sharp prongs of the wheel cover used to grip the wheel will pierce through the duct tape and still help retain the wheel covers. Vibration during braking. A vibration during braking usually indicates out of round brake drums, warped disc brake rotors, or other braking system problems. The front rotors are the cause of the vibration if the steering wheel is also vibrating, moving, during braking. The rear drums or rotors are the cause of the vibration if the vibration is felt throughout the vehicle and brake pedal, but not the steering wheel. Another way to check if the vibration is due to rear brakes is to use the parking brake to stop the vehicle. If a vibration occurs while using the parking brake, the rear brakes are the cause. Note, wheels should never be installed using an air impact wrench. Even installation torque is almost impossible to control, and over-tightening almost always occurs. The use of impact wrenches causes the wheel, hub, and rotor to distort, resulting in vibrations and brake pedal pulsations. Always tighten wheel lugs in the proper sequence and with proper torque value, using a torque wrench or torque limiting adapter bars. Vibration speed ranges. Frequency. Vibration describes an oscillating motion around a reference position. The number of times a complete motion cycle takes place during a period of 1 second is called frequency and is measured in hertz, named for Heinrich R. Hertz, a 19th century German physicist. See figures 132-5 and 132-6. The unit of measure for frequency was originally cycles per second. This was changed to hertz in the 1960s. To help understand frequency, think of the buzzing sound made by some fluorescent light fixtures. That 60 hertz hum is the same frequency as the alternating current. A 400 hertz sound is high pitched. In fact, most people can only hear sounds between 20 and 15,000 hertz. Generally, low-frequency oscillations between 1 and 80 Hz are the most disturbing to vehicle occupants. Case study. S10 pickup truck frame noise. The owner of a Chevrolet S10 pickup truck complained of a loud squeaking noise, especially when turning left. Several technicians attempted to solve the problem and replaced shock absorbers, ball joints, and control arm bushings without solving the problem. The problem was finally discovered to be the starter motor hitting the frame. A measurement of new vehicles indicated that the clearance between the starter motor and the frame was about 1/8 of an inch, or 0.125 inch 0.3 centimeters. The sagging of the engine mount and the weight transfer of the engine during cornering caused the starter motor to rub up against the frame. The noise was transmitted through the frame throughout the vehicle and made the source of the noise difficult to find. The summary. The complaint: owner complained of a loud squeaking noise. The cause: the starter was found to be hitting the frame due to a collapsed engine mount. The correction: both engine mounts were replaced, which proved to be the root cause. Vibration order. Vibration order is the number of vibrations created in one revolution of a component. A single high spot on a tire, for example, will cause one bump per revolution, which is a first order vibration. If the tire rotates 10 times per second, there are 10 disturbances per second, which is also called a first order vibration of 10 Hz. If there are two bumps on a tire, a second order vibration is created that would generate a vibration of 20 Hz if the tire were rotating 10 times per second. Tire and wheel vibrations. Typical vehicle components that can cause vibration in specific frequency ranges at 50 miles per hour, or 80 kilometers per hour, include the following. Low frequency, 5 to 20 Hz. This frequency range of vibration is very disturbing to many drivers because this type of vibration can be seen and felt in the steering wheel, seats, mirrors, and other components. Terms used to describe this type of vibration include nibble, shake, oscillation, shimmy, and shudder. Tires and wheels are the most common source of vibration in the low frequency range. To determine the exact frequency for the vehicle being checked, the following formula and procedure can be used. Tire rolling frequency is calculated as follows. Hertz equals mile per hour times 1.47 divided by tire circumference in feet. This formula works for all vehicles regardless of tire size. The circumference, distance around the tread, can be measured by using a tape measure around the tire. The rolling circumference of the tire is usually shorter due to the contact patch. To determine the rolling circumference, follow these easy steps. Step 1. Inflate the tires to the recommended pressure. Park the vehicle with the valve stem pointing straight down and mark the location on the floor directly below the valve stem. Step 2. Slowly roll the vehicle forward, or rearward, until the valve stem is again straight down. Mark the floor below the valve stem. Step 3. Measure the distance between the marks in feet. See figure 132-7. To change inches to feet, divide by 12, for example, 77 inches divided by 12 inch equals 6.4 feet. To determine the rolling frequency of this tire at 60 miles per hour, use 6.4 feet as the tire circumference in the formula. Frequency equals 60 miles per hour times 1.47 divided by 6.4 feet equals 13.8 Hz. Note: tire circumference is critical on four-wheel drive vehicles. The transfer case can be damaged and severe vibration can occur if the rolling circumference is different by more than 0.6 of an inch, or 15 millimeters, on the same axle, or more than 1.2 inches, or 30 millimeters, front to rear. Refer to figure 132-5. Hertz means cycles per second. If 6 cycles occur in 1 second, then the frequency is 6 Hertz. The amplitude refers to the total movement of the vibrating component. Refer to figure 132-6. Every time the end of a clamped yardstick moves up and down, it is 1 cycle. The number of cycles divided by the time equals the frequency. If the yardstick moves up and down 10 times, or 10 cycles, in 2 seconds, the frequency is 5 Hertz times 10 divided by 2 equals 5. Refer to figure 132-7. Determining the rolling circumference of a tire. Case study. The vibrating van. After the engine was replaced in a rear-wheel drive van, a vibration that felt like an engine miss was noticed by the driver. Because the vibration was not noticed before the engine was replaced, the problem was thought to be engine-related. Many tests failed to find anything wrong with the engine. Even the ignition distributor was replaced, along with the electronic ignition module, on the suspicion that an ignition misfire was the cause. After hours of troubleshooting, a collapsed transmission mount was discovered. After replacing the transmission mount, the engine miss and the vibration were eliminated. The collapsed mount caused the driveshaft U-joint angles to be unequal, which caused the vibration. The summary. The complaint: owner complained of a vibration during acceleration only that was believed to be an ignition misfire. The cause: the transmission mount was found to have collapsed, which affected the driveshaft angles. The correction: the transmission mount was replaced, which restored the proper driveshaft angles. Driveline vibrations. Medium frequency, 20 to 50 Hz. This frequency range of vibrations may also be described as a shake, oscillation, or shimmy. These higher frequencies may also be called roughness or buzz. Components become blurred and impossible to focus on above a vibration of 30 Hz. Engine-related vibrations. High frequency, 50 to 100 Hz. Vibrations in this range may also be heard as a moan or hum. The vibration is high enough that it may be felt as a numbing sensation that can put the driver's hands or feet to sleep. Engine-related vibrations vary with engine speed, regardless of road speed. Frequency of the vibration from an engine is determined from the engine speed and revolutions per minute, RPM. Frequency in Hertz equals engine RPM divided by 60. For example, if a vibration occurs at 3000 engine RPM, then the frequency is 50 Hertz. Hertz equals 3000 RPM divided by 60 equals 50 Hertz. Vibration frequency. Measuring frequency. Knowing the frequency of the vibration greatly improves the speed of tracking down the source of the vibration. Vibration can be measured using a retachometer or an electronic vibration analyzer, EVA. See Figure 132-8. A retachometer is placed on the dash, console, or other suitable location inside the vehicle. The vehicle is then driven on a smooth, level road at the speed where the vibration is felt the most. The reeds of the retachometer vibrate at the frequency of the vibration. Note: other types of vibration diagnostic equipment may be available from vehicle or aftermarket manufacturers. Refer to Figure 132-8. An electronic vibration analyzer. Correcting low-frequency vibrations. A low-frequency vibration, 5 to 20 Hz, is usually due to tire wheel problems, including the following. Number 1. Tire and or wheel imbalance. See Figures 132-9 through 132-11. Number 2. Tire and or wheel radial or lateral runout. Number 3. Radial force variation within the tire itself. Number 4. If front wheel drive, a bent or damaged drive axle joint or shaft. And number 5. Warped rotors. Tires that are out of round or defective will be most noticeable at low speeds, will get better as speed increases, and then will vibrate again at highway speeds. Tires that are out of balance will tend not to be noticeable at low speeds, and will be most noticeable at highway speeds. Note: high-performance tires are manufactured with different carcass and belt package angles as well as a stiffer, harder tread rubber compound than standard tires. While these construction features produce a tire that allows sporty handling, the tire itself causes a stiff ride, often with increased tire noise. High-performance tires also generate and transmit different frequencies than regular tires. Using replacement high-performance tires on a vehicle not designed for this type of tire may create noise and vibration concerns for the driver/owner that the technician cannot correct. Correcting medium-frequency vibrations. Medium-frequency vibrations, 20 to 50 Hz, can be caused by imbalances of the driveline as well as such things as the following. Number 1. Defective U-joints. Sometimes an old or a newly installed U-joint can be binding. This binding of the U-joint can cause a vibration. Often a blow to the joint with a brass hammer can free a binding U-joint. This is often called relieving the joint. Tapping the joint using a brass punch and a hammer also works well. Number 2. Driveshaft imbalance, such as undercoating on the driveshaft, or excessive runout. Number 3. Incorrect or unequal driveshaft angles. Driveline vibrations are usually the result of an imbalance in the rotating driveshaft, or propeller shaft, assembly. The driveshaft of a typical rear-wheel drive vehicle rotates at about 3 times the speed of the drive wheels. The differential gears in the rear end change the direction of the power flow from the engine and driveshaft, as well as provide for a gear reduction. Front-wheel drive vehicles do not have medium-frequency vibration caused by the driveshaft because the differential is inside the transaxle and the drive axle shafts rotate at the same speed as the wheels and tires. All driveshafts are balanced at the factory, and weights are attached to the driveshaft, if necessary, to achieve proper balance. A driveshaft should be considered one of the items checked if the medium-frequency vibration is felt throughout the vehicle or in the seat of the pants. Note: if a vibration is felt during heavy acceleration at low speeds, a common cause is incorrect universal joint angles. This often happens when the rear of the vehicle is heavily loaded or sagging due to weak springs. If the angles of the U-joints are not correct, excessive or unequal from one end of the driveshaft to the other, a vibration will also be present at higher speeds and is usually torque-sensitive. Refer to Figure 132-9. Properly balancing all wheels and tires solves most low-frequency vibrations. Refer to figure 132-10. An out-of-balanced tire showing scallops or bald spots around the tire. Even if correctly balanced, this cup tire would create a vibration. Refer to figure 132-11. Another cause of a vibration that is often blamed on wheels or tires is a bent bearing hub. Use a dial indicator to check the flange for runout. Correcting high-frequency vibrations. High-frequency vibrations, 50 to 100 Hz, are commonly caused by a fault of the clutch, torque converter, or transmission main shaft that rotates at engine speed. In the engine itself, they can be caused by items such as the following. Number 1. A defective spark plug wire. Number 2. A burned valve. Number 3. Any other mechanical fault that will prevent any one or more cylinders from firing correctly. And number 4. A defective harmonic balancer. If the engine is the cause, run in neutral at the same engine speed. If the vibration is present, perform a complete engine condition diagnosis. Some engines only misfire under load and will not vibrate while in neutral without a load being placed on the engine, even though the engine is being operated at the same speed, or RPM. Exhaust system pulses occur at the following conditions. For 4-cylinder engine is 2 times engine RPM. For 6-cylinder engine is 3 times engine RPM. For 8-cylinder engine is 4 times engine RPM. If the exhaust system is touching the body, it will transfer these pulses as a vibration. Exhaust system vibrations vary with engine speed and usually increase as the load on the engine increases. Refer to figure 132-12. Checking a drive shaft for runout using a magnetic mounted dial indicator. Tech tip. Squeaks and rattles. Many squeaks and rattles commonly heard on any vehicle can be corrected by tightening all bolts and nuts you can see. Raise the hood and tighten all fender bolts. Tighten all radiator support and bumper brackets. Open the doors and tighten all hinge and body bolts. An even more thorough job can be done by hoisting the vehicle and tightening all under vehicle fasteners, including inner fender bolts, exhaust hangers, shock mounts, and heat shields. It is amazing how much this quiets the vehicle, especially on older models. It also makes the vehicle feel more solid with far less flex in the body, especially when traveling over railroad crossings or rough roads. Correcting driveline angles. Incorrect driveline angles are usually caused by one or more of the following. Number 1. Worn, damaged, or improperly installed U-joints. Number 2. Worn, collapsed, or defective engine or transmission mounts. Number 3. Incorrect vehicle ride height. As weight is added to the rear of a rear-wheel drive vehicle, the front of the differential rises and changes the working angle of the rear U-joint, and number 4. Bent or distorted driveshaft. Checking driveshaft runout. Check to see that the driveshaft is not bent by performing a driveshaft runout test using a dial indicator. Runout should be measured at 3 places along the length of the driveshaft. The maximum allowable runout is 0.030 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters. If runout exceeds 0.030 inch, remove the driveshaft from the rear end and re-index the driveshaft onto the companion flange at 180 degrees from its original location. Remeasure the driveshaft runout. If the runout is still greater than 0.030 inch, the driveshaft is bent and needs replacement or the companion flange needs replacement. See figure 132-12. Measuring driveshaft U-joint facing. Measuring driveshaft U-joint facing involves checking to see if the front and rear U-joints are directly in line or parallel with each other. With the vehicle on a drive-on lift, or if using a frame contact hoist, support the weight of the vehicle on stands placed under the rear axle. Place an inclinometer on the front U-joint bearing cup and rotate the driveshaft until horizontal, note the inclinometer reading. Move the inclinometer to the rear U-joint. The angles should match. If the angles are not equal, the driveshaft is out of phase and should be replaced. Incorrect phasing is usually due to a twisted driveshaft or an incorrectly welded end yoke. Checking companion flange runout. The companion flange is splined to the rear axle pinion shaft and provides the mounting for the rear U-joint of the driveshaft. Two items should be checked on the companion flange while diagnosing a vibration. Number 1. The companion flange should have a maximum runout of 0.006 of an inch, or 0.15 millimeters, while being rotated. If the flange was pounded off with a hammer during a previous repair, the deformed flange could cause a vibration. And number 2. Check the companion flange for a missing balance weight. Many flanges have a balance weight that is spot welded onto the flange. If the weight is missing, a driveline vibration can result. Balancing the driveshaft. If the driveshaft, or propeller shaft, is within runout specification and a vibration still exists, the balance of the shaft should be checked and corrected as necessary. The procedure for testing driveshaft balance using a strobe balancer includes the following. Note: driveshaft balance is more important than front drive axle shaft balance because a driveshaft rotates much faster. A typical driveshaft rotates about 3 times faster than the drive wheels due to the gear reduction in the differential. Drive axle shafts rotate at the same speed as the drive wheels. Step 1. Raise the vehicle and mark the driveshaft with 4 equally spaced marks around its circumference. Label each mark with a 1, 2, 3, and 4. See Figure 132-13. Step 2. Attach the strobe balancer sensor to the bottom of the differential housing as close to the companion flange as possible. See Figure 132-14. Note: the sensor does not rotate with the driveshaft but picks up the vibration of the driveshaft through the differential housing. Step 3. With the vehicle securely hoisted and the drive wheels off the ground, start the engine and put the transmission into gear to allow the drive wheels to rotate. Step 4. Hold the strobe light close to the marks on the driveshaft. A. If the light does not flash, the driveshaft is balanced and no corrective action is necessary. B. If the light does flash, observe what number mark is shown by the flashing light. Step 5. Apply hose clamps so that the screw portion of the clamps is opposite the number seen with the strobe light. The screw portion of the hose clamp is the corrective weight. Remember, the strobe light sensor was mounted to the bottom of the differential housing. The strobe light flashes when the heavy part of the driveshaft is facing downward. If the heavy part of the driveshaft is down, then corrective weight must be added to the opposite side of the driveshaft. See Figures 132-15 and 132-16. Refer to Figure 132-13. When checking the balance of a driveshaft, make reference marks around the shaft so that the location of the unbalance may be viewed when using a strobe light. Refer to Figure 132-14. Using a strobe balancer to check for driveline vibration requires that an extension be used on the magnetic sensor. Tall safety stands are used to support the rear axle to keep the driveshaft angles the same as when the vehicle is on the road. Refer to Figure 132-15. Typical procedure to balance a driveshaft using hose clamps. Refer to Figure 132-16. 2 clamps were required to balance this front driveshaft of a four-wheel drive vehicle. Be careful when using hose clamps so that the ends of the clamps do not interfere with the body or other parts of the vehicle. Noise diagnosis. Noise diagnosis is difficult because a noise is easily transmitted from its source to other places in the vehicle. For example, if a rear shock absorber mount is loose, the noise may be heard as coming from the middle or even the front of the vehicle. As the axle moves up and down, the noise is created where metal touches metal between the shock absorber bolt and the axle shock mount. The noise is then transmitted throughout the frame of the vehicle, and therefore causes the sound to appear to come from everywhere. To help pin down the exact location of the sound, perform a thorough test drive, including driving beside parked vehicles or walls with the vehicle windows open. See the following chart for driveline and bearing type noise diagnosis. Some noises may be normal. A similar vehicle should be driven and compared before replacing parts that may not be defective. Noises usually become louder and easier to find as time and mileage increase. An occasional noise usually becomes a constant noise. Case study. Everything is okay until I hit a bump. The owner of an 8-year-old vehicle asked that the vibration in the steering wheel be repaired. It seemed that the vehicle drove fine until the front wheels hit a bump in the road, then the steering wheel shimmied for a few seconds. This problem is typical of a vehicle with excessive steering linkage free play. When driving straight, centrifugal, or rolling, force on the tires tends to force the front wheels outward, or toe out. When one or both wheels hit a bump, the play in the linkage becomes apparent, causing the steering wheel to shimmy until the rolling force again equalizes the steering. The service technician performed a test drive and a careful steering system inspection and discovered free play in both inner tie rod end sockets of the rack and pinion unit. The steering unit also had some power steering leakage at the tie rod bellows. A replacement remanufactured power rack and pinion steering unit was recommended to the customer. The customer approved the replacement rack and authorized the required realignment. A careful test drive confirmed that the problem was corrected. The summary. The complaint: owner complained of vibration but only after hitting a bump in the road. The cause: the rack and pinion steering had excessive looseness in both the inner and outer tie rods. The correction: the steering gear assembly was replaced and the problem was corrected. Noise correction. The proper way to repair a noise is to repair the cause. Other methods that have been used by technicians include the following. Number 1. Insulating the passenger compartment to keep the noise from the passengers. Number 2. Turning up the radio. Refer to chart on page 1672. Noise diagnostic procedure. While these methods are usually inexpensive, the noise is still being generated, and if a noisy bearing or other vehicle component is not corrected, more expensive damage is likely to occur. Always remember, almost all vehicle faults cause noise first. Do not ignore the noise because it is the early warning signal of more serious and possibly dangerous problems. Some of the things that can be done to correct certain vibrations and noise include the following. Number 1. Check all power steering high pressure lines, being certain that they do not touch any part of the body, frame, or engine except where they are mounted. Number 2. Carefully check, tighten, and lubricate the flexible couplings in the exhaust system. Use a drive-on lift to ensure normal suspension positioning to check the exhaust system clearances. Loosen, then tighten, all exhaust clamps and hangers to relieve any built-up stress. Number 3. Lubricate all rubber bushings with rubber lube and replace any engine or transmission mounts that are collapsed. And Number 4. Replace and/or tighten all engine drive belts and check that all accessory mounting brackets are tight. Refer to Figure 132-17. Tire wear caused by improper alignment or driving habits, such as high-speed cornering, can create tire noise. Notice the feather-edged outer tread blocks. Refer to Figure 132-18. This bearing was found on a vehicle that had been stored over the winter. This corroded bearing produced a lot of noise and had to be replaced. Refer to Figure 132-19. Chassis ear microphones attached to various suspension components using the integral clamps. The sound is transmitted wirelessly to the receiver inside the vehicle where an assistant technician can listen for noises while the vehicle is being driven. Frequently asked question. What are chassis ears? Chassis ears is a brand name for a tool that uses microphones that can be attached to parts under the vehicle and transmit noise to a receiver. The receiver can be tuned so that a technician can listen to one microphone at a time while someone else is driving. This tool makes finding the source of a noise easier. See Figure 132-19. Tech tip. Wrap it. Many technicians who service transmissions and differentials frequently replace all bearings in the differential when there is a noise complaint. While this at first may seem to be overkill, these technicians have learned that one defective bearing may put particles in the lubricant, often causing the destruction of all the other bearings. This practice has been called wrap, for replace all parts, and in the case of differentials, wrap may not be such a bad idea. Case study. Engine noise. An experienced technician was assigned to diagnose a loud engine noise. The noise sounded like a defective connecting rod bearing or other major engine problem. The alternator belt was found to be loose. Knowing that a loose belt can whip and cause noise, the belt was inspected and the belt tensioner was replaced, but the noise was still heard. After stopping the engine, the technician found that the alternator belt was still loose. The problem was discovered to be a missing bolt that attached the alternator mounting bracket to the engine. The forces on the alternator caused the bracket to hit the engine. This noise was transmitted throughout the entire engine. Replacing the missing bracket bolt solved the loud engine noise and pleased a very relieved owner. The summary. The complaint: owner complained of a loud engine noise. The cause: the alternator bracket was loose, causing the noise due to a broken bracket bolt. The correction: the alternator bracket bolt was replaced and the proper alternator belt tension was restored and the noise was eliminated. Review questions. Question 1. Describe how you can tell if the source of a vibration is at the front or the rear of a vehicle during a test drive. Question 2. What are the steps to perform a neutral run-up test? Question 3. List two types of frequency measuring instruments. Question 4. Discuss why the balance of a drive shaft on a rear-wheel drive vehicle is more important than the balance of a front-wheel drive axle shaft. Question 5. Explain how to check and balance a drive shaft on a rear-wheel drive vehicle. Chapter Quiz. Question 1. A vibration or noise can be caused by all of the following. Except A. Exhaust system. B. Wheels and tires. C. Incorrect drive shaft angles. D. Exhaust smoke. Question 2. An engine-related vibration can be best detected by performing A. Neutral run-up test. B. Test drive on a rough road. C. Hard acceleration form a stop. D. Any of the above. Question 3. Driveline vibrations due to a bent or out-of-balance driveshaft on a rear-wheel drive vehicle usually produce a vibration that is A. Felt in the steering wheel. B. Seen as a vibrating dash or hood. C. Felt in the seat or all over the vehicle. D. Felt by the rear passengers only. Question 4. A vibration is felt in the steering wheel during braking only. A common cause of the vibration is A. Worn idler arm. B. Out of balance front tires. C. Loose or defective wheel bearings. D. Warped or non-parallel front disc brake rotors. Question 5. The rolling circumference of both tires on the same axle of a four-wheel drive vehicle should be within A. 0.1 of an inch, or 2.5 millimeters. B. 0.3 of an inch, or 7.6 millimeters. C. 0.6 of an inch, or 15 millimeters. D. 1.2 of an inch, or 30 millimeters. Question 6. Wheel tire imbalance is the most common source of vibrations that occur in what frequency range? A. 5 to 20 Hz. B. 20 to 50 Hz. Circa 50 to 100 Hz. D. 100 to 150 Hz. Question 7. The maximum allowable driveshaft runout is A. 0.030 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters. B. 0.10 of an inch, or 2.5 millimeters. C. 0.50 of an inch, or 13 millimeters. D. 0.015 of an inch, or 0.4 millimeters. Question 8. Measuring driveshaft U-joint phasing involves checking to see if the front and rear U-joints are with each other. A. Parallel. B. Crossed. C. At an angle. D. Opposite phased. Question 9. A driveshaft can be checked for proper balance by marking the circumference of the shaft in four places and running the vehicle drive wheels to spot the point of imbalance using A. Reed tachometer. B. Strobe light. C. Electronic vibration analyzer. D. Scan Thule. Question 10. A defective clutch release, or throw out, bearing is usually heard when the clutch is A. Engaged in neutral. B. Disengaged in a gear. C. Depressed to take up any free play. D. Engaged in first gear or reverse. End of chapter 132.